Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, writing in American Greatness, after the G7, the NATO meeting, the EU conversations, and especially the meeting in Geneva between the two presidents above Lake Geneva. That is a very good evening to you. Writing and comment about G7, I want to add the additional fact from Moscow the day after the Geneva summit. Quoting President Putin, "The image of President Biden, which is portrayed by our and even the American press, has nothing to do with reality," said Vladimir Putin. He went on to say, "Biden is a professional. You have to be very attentive when working with him so as not to miss something, because he does not miss a thing. Trust me. We are ready to continue this dialogue to the same extent as the American side is," said President Putin. It very much is in keeping with the rest of the Moscow media, which praised the president for meeting with Vladimir Putin. My understanding is Vladimir Putin wanted the handshake with Joe Biden. That is a photograph that he can show to all of the wavering parts of his organization to be assured again that he's on equal with the United States. Good evening to you, Thaddeus.
Good evening, John.
And well, in showing that photo, he has achieved everything you can want from a summit. Was that obvious that this was going to happen, or were you surprised by it?
Nothing surprises me. Look, you can hear Putin laughing as he says that. He got everything he wanted from Biden. He got much of it ahead of time. He wants to continue the dialogue because he expects to get everything else whenever it pops into his head. And so the Moscow media is praising what Bob Seger once would have called a beautiful loser.
The G7 meeting on the beach at Cornwall, the strange presentation was the 7, 8, or 9 participants, because they were not all leaders of state, very few of them were, standing in their place, socially distanced, more than that, having their photograph taken. You ask very carefully who is watching this and what the lesson is. What did you learn from that photograph of the G7 standing on the beach in Cornwall?
Well, it's the twilight of the elite. Their attempt to take popular democracy, our republic, and turn it into an elitist administrative state has failed. And the only people who don't know it are themselves. When you look at them smiling, when you look at them playing their horseplay on the sands and the mirth of it, these are not serious people. There is no gravitas on display. In many ways, they're mocking us with their levity right there. I want you to think of this. These are people who lead some of the most important countries in the world, the democracies, as Churchill would have called us. And look at them laughing and clowning around. Does that strike you as people who understand what the public went through for 18 months of a pandemic and riots and social unrest and chaos? Does that strike you as people who know that all the damage that some of their lockdowns have done? Did they strike you as people who understand the gravity of the situation and what needs to be done? No, absolutely not. And in fact, as my friend John Gabriel wrote, it's much like the meeting of some of the royalty in 1914 prior to the Great War. They had no idea that their existing order was about to come down while everybody around them did.
Have we returned to 1914? Is that where we are? The leaders of great nations are disconnected from how it is to live through these times, and therefore they will be surprised, shocked, badly damaged, unaware, or unable to deal with the fact that we no longer heed them, that the recovery is uneven, and that we will go our own way? Will that surprise them?
Well, I think it's going to surprise them, again, their attempt to create an elitist, undemocratic administrative state is going to fail. It's going to be shown to be a failure. It's already failed.
Yes.
And so when you look at it, we're going, the future remains what it was in 1776. It's going to be self-government. It's going to be subsidiarity. It's going to be federalism. It's going to be divided government. It's going to be one entity not being powerful enough to destroy everything you know and cherish with the stroke of a pen. This is going to be the future, and it ties in with the technology that we see today, with the technological communication revolution, empowering human beings to extents undreamt, to pursue their own happiness, make their own decisions, have their voices heard. When you combine the technological revolution around us with the populist revolution in both parties here in the United States, and when they find common ground and tie them in together with that, you're going to continue to see it. The future is self-government. The future belongs to the individuals, not to an elitist administrative state.
During the worst of the pandemic in Britain, I'll go to a country, mother country. The worst of the pandemic, the people of Manchester rebuked London because they believed that London was issuing mandates about lockdowns and inability to function as a city, exceeding the conditions in Manchester, and they believed they were being discriminated against. The mayor of Manchester, who is a prominent labor voice, rebuked Boris Johnson, and the central government backed down. They accommodated Manchester, Greater Manchester, which is a large industrial population that is aging. I wonder if we're seeing the same thing here. It's hard to see because the parties get in the way, but can you see regions rebuking the Washington mandates, in other words, old-fashioned federalism?
Yes, and we've seen that in a lot of ways. We've seen that both on the left side of the aisle with sanctuary cities and others, and we've seen it on the right side of the aisle, especially during the pandemic. And in fact, you also saw some Democratic states following some of those models, too, although you didn't hear much about them. But I think that when you look back at the pandemic, the way the elites treated themselves, rules for them and not rules for us and not for them, the hypocrisy on display, the fact they did not follow the science, the fact that some protests were allowed to go on and others were not, the list goes on and on and on. And I don't think they understand that in locking us down and revealing who they were through their own hypocrisy and their own political avarice and venality, I don't think they understand what they did, and that goes back to what we were saying about the G7. They don't understand the country. They do not understand that we know that they failed.
Have we become Europe? Is our federal government now the same as the government in Paris, the government in Berlin, the government in London, the European Union's welfare state?
No, but they'd love it to be. They'd love it to be an administrative elitist state where everybody comes out of the same schools and the rest of us get to be governed by them, those types of things. But again, when you look, this is not just a Republican complaint. If you look at the Sanders movement, the Democratic Party that took on their establishment, you see grassroots movements in populist movements in both parties, and there's a lot of overlap on the issues, and they're starting to become manifest in Washington when you look at some of the antitrust legislation and some of the bills regarding big tech. Those are bipartisan bills amongst relatively people who represent the populist wing of each party.
The seven countries, the G7 meeting in Cornwall, are they unaware this is happening, Thaddeus?
I think they believe it's aware, and I think that's part of the problem when you saw President Biden attacking half the country overseas. So, but I think that that's a sign of fear. That is not a sign that somehow we're going forward into the great administrative state and the rest of us are just going to fall in line. It's heading towards coercion. They're also heading towards the apocalyptic fear that if we don't do everything they say, the world's going to end. In many ways, that's one of the arguments for climate change. If we don't do everything in 9 years, we're all going to die. So when you start to look at this type of thing, they have coercion, they have fear, but that's, again, that's what you expect from a twilight of the elite. They're on their last gasp. They don't know how to get out of it because they've been revealed for who they are through their own actions, and not even the media can prop them up.
Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.